We began by discussing the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to offer. And that life is offered free. It is the free gift. It is the desire that God has that can be provided by no other means and no other person. Now, as we looked at the lessons this morning, here's what we've concluded so far. The secret to living the full and abundant life is found in bearing fruit. And as a child of God, we must bear fruit. And if we bear fruit as the child of God, if we do it in sincerity, and we do it according to the way that the Bible teaches, then we are going to find that full and abundant life. We are going to find joy and happiness, assurance and peace, and everything that constitutes happiness. That is what we want. That's what God wants for us. Well, the secret to bearing fruit, we saw, is found in our abiding in Christ. Now, what we're doing, for those of you that weren't here this morning, we're working our way backward to the very beginning of this process. The end result that we all want is to live that full and abundant life. And that full and abundant life is found by our living and our bearing fruit according to the Bible. Well, as we go through this, we're taking a step backward each time. So by Wednesday night, we will find step number one. Here is the critical step, the very beginning point as to how we are to find this joy in our life. You don't begin Christianity at this point. Christianity is a developing process, it's a growing process, a maturing process. And it comes about through the processes that God gives us in the Bible. And that's what we're talking about in this lesson series. Well, the secret to bearing fruit is that of abiding in Christ. And we pointed that out in John chapter 15 and verse 5. And incidentally, if you want to open your Bibles to John 15, we'll be looking at a number of points there. But in the lesson in the morning assembly, we said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. Well, that's what we want to do, because as we bear much fruit, we'll find great joy. God provides us the strength by which we can bear this fruit. I can do all things through him that strengthens me, Philippians 4 and verse 13. But as you look, what is now the secret to this step? What is the secret to abiding in Christ? How can we be sure that we have this access, this connection to the strength that Jesus Christ provided Paul, and that is available to us? Remember Ephesians 3 and verse 20. We have accessibility to that power that can do exceeding abundantly beyond what we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Ephesians 3:20. Well, how do we access that power? How do we plug into that power? What is the secret of abiding in Christ? Well, the secret of abiding in Christ is that of obeying the commandments of Jesus Christ. In our overview in the Bible class this morning, we observed these points. We pointed out that in John chapter 15 and verse 10, there the Bible has Jesus telling us that if we abide in him, we keep his commandments, then we abide in his love. John 15 and the first part of verse 10. If you keep my commandments, then you shall abide in my love. Think about that, brethren. Think about the point that the Lord is making to us. If we want his love, if we want to abide in his love, what must we do? We must keep his commandments. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. What happens if we don't keep his commandments? Then we're not going to be abiding in his love, are we? You see how simple it is? And yet the religious world today wants to confuse and distort and rethink and remap and redesign and restructure this whole thing. They claim that you can abide in Christ's love by doing whatever you want to do. In fact, some will claim you don't have to obey any law at all. You don't even have to obey any commandment. And to them, the very notion of a commandment is something that is abhorred. But Jesus said, if you want to abide in my love, there's something you must do. And you must keep my commandments. But by keeping his commandments, we also become his friends. John 15 and verse 14. You are my friends if you, what? Do. And what is it he wants us to do? Look at that verse. If you do the things which I command you. Jesus said, if you do what I command, then you're my friend. What if I don't do what Jesus commands? Well, then I'm not a friend of Jesus. And Jesus is not my friend either. Well, this point was restated by the beloved disciple over in 1 John chapter 3 and the first part of verse 24. Listen to what John says, and this is the apostle of love. He that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him. Whenever we talk about abiding in Christ, it's critical that we in the same breath point out that you can only abide in Christ if you obey the commandments of Christ, if you keep the commandments of Christ. That does not make you a legalist, does not make you a pharisaical Christian. It makes you a friend of Jesus. The apostle of love said that. Many people today want to use love to cover everything, and they misquote the Bible's teaching that love covereth a multitude of sin. The beloved apostle tells us that if we want to abide in Christ, then we must keep his... And look at that. He that keepeth, that is a continuous present. You just don't do it one time. You keep on keeping his commandments. You never stop doing it. What happens if you stop keeping the commandments? Then you stop being the friend of Jesus. Well, this principle was illustrated by Jesus Christ. We pointed out this morning, it governed him in his relationship with God. Jesus himself made the statement that he was going to follow the will of God. He was going to obey what God had commanded him to do. A very basic principle in the life of Christ. And then we pointed out that this principle also governs our lives as well. Are we better than Christ? Can we conduct ourselves on a level with God the Father that Jesus Christ was unable to? Obviously not. If Jesus Christ was required to govern his relationship with God the Father through this principle of obedience, then brethren, we are too. No one is exempt from it. If anyone wants to be in a relationship with God the Father, it's a very simple thing. They must follow the commandments of God in their lives. Otherwise, we prove ourselves to be superior. We think we're superior than Christ. And how distressing it is to hear that spiritual arrogance today from some that claim they don't have to do what Jesus did. They don't have to keep the commandments. They don't have to respect the commandments of God. They can do it because they have a different way. But I want you to see just how simple the truth is. And then that simplicity ought to be a great contrast to the way that others are conducting themselves. The secret to abiding in Christ is that of obeying the commandments of Christ. And this idea of obedience will surprise some, but this idea is stressed throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God. And I want us to look at that in the lesson tonight. Because if we are not convinced that we must obey the Word of God, then we will not enjoy that full and abundant life that is found in Christ Jesus. If you and I can take and select what we want to do and what we don't want to do based upon our own personal desires, there is no universal standard, and there will never be any great love and joy that the Bible teaches is possible only through those who follow the absolute standards. Let's look at this principle of obedience. And there's a number of passages that we want to bring your attention in this. First of all, if you will, turn over to Deuteronomy, if you've got your Old Testaments. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Here at the very beginning of this nation's existence, God stresses a very basic principle. If you want to be in fellowship, then you've got to obey the will of God. You cannot do as you please. You cannot fashion things as you want. You must submit to God, and you must do what God says. Now look at Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. What was the message? Very clear. Israel, if you want to be in fellowship with God, then you better obey the commands of God. And he was very specific in telling him exactly what they had to do. Later on, as Israel had failed to do this, turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, you have there the prophet that's calling the wayward nation back. In fact, if you look at the beginning verses of that, God said, "Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me." Well, the commandment that had been stated in Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13 had been ignored. The people were not doing what they ought to have done. And so now the prophet Isaiah is risen up by God, and he is encouraging Israel to go back to God. Look at Isaiah 1, verses 18 and following. "Come now, let us reason together." And underscore the word reason. God wants us to understand. He wants us to use our minds. He wants us to reason through. Our relationship with God is built not upon some emotional feeling. That comes after we obey. Our response to God is built upon a reasoned response. But it was in the Old Testament. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." And then look at verse 19. "If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The principle here that Isaiah was stating is the same principle that governed the decisions of Christ. The same principle that the apostle of love urged his readers in 1 John 3 to follow. And that is the principle of obedience. If we obey the will of God, then we will be saved by God. God will be our friend. We'll be in fellowship with him. But if we do not obey, then we better be ready for some very tragic times to come in our lives. Let's look further. King Saul is given an example of the principle of obedience over in 1 Samuel chapter 15. You know the story well. There you have Saul. He'd been crowned the king of Israel. He'd started his career a wonderful way. He was a very humble man. He'd been blessed by God, but Saul decided he didn't need God. He didn't need to follow God. And 1 Samuel chapter 15 is really the point where the total break is made. Saul had been told by God, "You go down and you destroy utterly the Amalekites." You just can't misunderstand that, can you? "What do you mean, God? Destroy utterly?" Pretty simple. He knew what it meant. Now, if you look in this story, look down in verse 20. And we know he didn't do that, so Samuel was sent. And Samuel was questioning Saul. And look in verse 20. Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? God had said, now Samuel, here's what you need to do. No wiggle room at all. You can't negotiate anything in that. Utter destruction is utter destruction. Some of the Bibles read it extermination. Full destruction is what he's saying. But Saul said, I did obey the voice of the Lord. Verse 21, and Saul said, but the people took some of the spoil. You see, Saul said, Samuel, now I had good intentions in this, and personally I obeyed the Lord. You see, the problem isn't with me, the problem's with all these other people. The principle of obedience was that which was being challenged. In fact, it had been completely rejected by Saul at this point. And Saul thought that he'd be able to rationalize and excuse this flagrant disobedience. The people took it because they wanted to sacrifice to the Lord. See, if you can somehow put a religious spin on something and somehow you're going to make something that is really bad look really good, we think it ought to get by. But listen to what Samuel says there in verse 22. Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in what? As in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is of the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Underscore that word in your Bible, however it's translated there in verse 22. The New American Standard says, insubordination. Now we're in a military environment. Most of us very aware of protocol. We know the military rules. Insubordination is something that is not going to be tolerated, and it shouldn't be tolerated. Because an insubordinate act is going to undermine the morale, it's going to undermine the authority, it's going to destroy the unity of the fighting force. I don't care what level it's demonstrated on. That's why insubordination is so damnable to the military. But even worse, Samuel used the point right here, even worse in regard to our relationship with God. Insubordination, he says, is the same as iniquity and idolatry. Now, why would insubordination be the same as idolatry? Because the insubordinate person is putting themselves and their pleasures and their desires above God. And that's exactly what idolatry does. And he said to Saul, you have rejected the word of the Lord. And consequently, he has rejected you from being king as well. Ecclesiastes there is the writings of Solomon. As he comes to the end of his life, if you look in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, the conclusion when all has been heard, fear God and do what? Keep his commandments. He says, because, and then I like this, again, it's from the New American Standard. He says, because this applies to every person, the principle of obedience. Fear God, keep his commandments. Why? Because that applies to everybody. No one is beyond the principle of obedience. You and I are not beyond it. There are people in the world that think that they can take the Bible and they can rip out what they want, or they can ignore what they want, or they can even toss it away and never follow it. But they're subject to the principle of obedience as well. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, made a lot of mistakes. But at the end of his life, here in verse 13, we understand he uttered a great truth. A very wise point that is often neglected in the world today. We need to understand, brethren, the principle of obedience is stressed in the Old Testament, but it's just not limited there. It's stressed in the New Testament as well. If you look over in Matthew chapter 7, a lot of folks love Matthew 7 because they say, now, You don't judge. The Bible says do not judge, and they're quick to turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Well, the point they miss is Matthew chapter 7, the entire focus is on judging. And if you look at it and study through it, there's a powerful lesson that is talking about judging. And what the Lord is saying there is you had better look very closely and you had better follow carefully what is revealed, because the principle of obedience is going to condemn you if you're not doing it. And it's a word of warning. But look down, if you will, to verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. They understand his deity. They understand his position. They're willing to admit his lordship. But he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, that entrance is exclusive. It's limited. Not everyone's able to do it. Who is? He that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And again, doeth there is in a constant, present, active sense. We are doing the will. It's not that I did it. I've known a lot of folks that they did the will of God years ago, but they're not doing the will of God right now. On the judgment day, unfortunately, they'll hear the statement that the Lord will say. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? By thy name cast out demons? By thy name do many... They did all kinds of religious works, religious teachings, good things. Then, while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How is that possible? They're not abiding in Christ. Unless we abide in Christ, all the works that we do, Titus 1:16, are reprobate. You're doing works of iniquity. You can prophesy in his name. You can do many mighty works in his name. You can call him Lord, Lord. But unless you do the will of the Father, unless you obey the principle of obedience, it's not going to benefit you. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Well, there's a number of other points that you see on the handout and on the screen that emphasize this point. The New Testament, the Old Testament, the life of Christ, the commandment from the apostle of love himself, all of these join together to present one simple fact. There is a principle of obedience that says we must follow God's commandments. You cannot ignore it. You cannot excuse it. You cannot modify it. You must follow it exactly as it's taught in the Bible. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 3 that his true family is comprised of those that are doing the will of God. We'll talk about love, but sometimes love wants to excuse people. At least we're told that. But Jesus said, if you love father or mother more than me, you can't abide in me. The principle of obedience that we're seeing right here is so simple. The apostles in their preaching and teaching, the apostle Peter in Acts chapter 10, the apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17, all the Bible together unite to teach a very simple point. And that point is that God has given us commandments. These commandments are given not to be grievous. His commandments are not grievous, the Bible teaches. They're not difficult. They're not hard to understand. They do require us, Galatians 2:20, to crucify self, to deny self, let Christ live in our lives and govern our choices. But those commandments must be obeyed. You cannot read much of the Bible until you discover that obedience to God's commands is essential if we're going to enjoy the blessings of God. King Saul failed to understand that. Wise Solomon failed to understand that. the multitudes on the judgment day that were discussed in Matthew 7, 21 and following failed to understand that. Jesus Christ came to offer us an abundant life. And that full and abundant life that gives us joy and assurance and blessings and happiness and peace and contentment and all the things that we long for, that life is possible. But only if we abide in Christ. And that abiding in Christ is only possible if we continue to obey Christ. And remember, we're talking on a present, continuous basis. You can't say, well, I did that years ago. I'm not doing it right now. Well, years ago you were abiding in Christ. Right now you're not. And so as we look at that point, and as we discuss this theme, I want you to look very closely at your life and look at how you are governing your life. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 speaks about Jesus Christ. And it says, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Not everybody that calls upon him, Lord, Lord, is a Christian. Only to those that obey him is he the author of eternal salvation. So we come to a very basic question. Have you obeyed the commands of Jesus Christ? Friends, if you haven't done this, there's no way that you can find the joy of the full and abundant life. Because you're not abiding in Christ. And to abide in Christ gives you the full and abundant life in your life. Consider a few of the commands that the Bible teaches that we must obey. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to repent of ourself guiding us, and we need to repent of that and turn and follow the guidance of God through the Word of Christ. We need to be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. Just being immersed doesn't work. The Bible teaches the immersion must have a specific purpose, and those that are being immersed must understand what's going on. If not, Acts 19 makes no sense. But a command of God is that we must be immersed, we must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. A command of God is that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A command of God is that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the custom is. The command of Christ is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The command of Christ is that we devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer. And as we go on, we can add to this list. To those that are faithfully following Jesus, there are the comforting words that Revelation speaks. Look at these words. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Who are those that are blessed? Only those that obey Jesus Christ. What about those that don't obey? Then they're not blessed. If you're not blessed, what are you? You're cursed. Don't you see the urgency of getting the gospel message to others? Don't we realize the urgency of maintaining the purity of the gospel message? Because if we preach a polluted and corrupted message, they're not going to understand. They're not going to get the idea that the Bible teaches about the obedience to Christ. Who are those that have right to the tree of life? Who are those that can enter in through the gates into the eternal city? Only those that obey. And if we're out here and we're teaching error, then we're not giving them the necessary information they need to be blessed, to gain access to the tree of life, or to enter in through the gates into the beloved city. And friends, if we're not obedient, the same points apply to us. Don't you see how simple it is? Isn't it amazing, simplicity of the Scripture? God has taught us how we need to live, what we need to do in order to find that full and abundant life. Look at what we've discovered so far. Tomorrow we'll pick up here. But today we found that the secret to living that full and abundant life is in bearing fruit. The secret to bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. And the secret to abiding in Christ is obeying the commands of Christ. And so that brings us to our last question. Have you obeyed Christ? Are you submissive to His will? What a powerful lesson we find, and is found through the Lord's teachings in John chapter 15. I trust that tonight, as we all leave this assembly, that we will leave in confident assurance that we're abiding in Christ because we have obeyed Christ. Consequently, we'll have the joys, blessedness that comes from that full and abundant life that is ours because we're Christians. Take the lessons to heart. Put the points to the book. Put them alongside and judge it. Go home and study it. Come back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and we're going to continue this as we continue working our way back to how do we begin the process that will lead us to that full and abundant life. Right now we're going to stand and sing the Lord's invitation. And the Lord invites those who are not abiding in Him to become a part of Him. If you've never obeyed the commandments of Christ to confess His name before men, you need to do that. Because the Lord said, if you're ashamed to confess Him, then He'll be ashamed of you. If you haven't obeyed the commandments of Christ to repent, the Lord wants you to repent. He wants you to turn to Him, and that decision will lead you to baptism, where you submit yourself to the Lord's will. You're placed into the body of Christ. If you are a member of the Lord's body, and your obedience has not been on that continuous practice, God doesn't want us to live a life sporadically. He wants our life to be that of walking in the light, constant association and fellowship with Him.